الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In our previous class we're discussing what the author he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى with regards to the interpretation of التحيات of التحيات and we have seen that the تشهد الأخير it is a pillar from the pillars of Salah, and likewise sitting in order to perform that tashahud as well is a pillar. So the author, he was clarifying the meanings of the tashahud, and he mentioned what tahiyyat. At-tahiyyat jami'u at-ta'zimat lillahi mulkan wa istihqaqan. That all of the means of veneration, magnification and praising are for Allah. They belong to Him, and they're His sole right, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the author, he mentioned examples, مِثْرُ الْإِنْحِنَاء وَالْخُضُوعِ وَالْرُّكُوعِ وَالسُّجُودِ وَالْبَقَاءِ وَالدَّوَامِ. For example, like bowing and submission, and making ruku' and sujood, prostration, everlasting life. And meaning that Allah, He is the one who lives forever. So the tahiyyat, these are the actions and statements and circumstances or situations a person may be in that indicate praise and magnification and glorification and veneration. All of this is for Allah Azza wa Jal. All of this is for Allah Azza wa Jal. So here he's mentioning an important point, like al-inhina. Inhina, it means bowing. But also he says ruku' wa ruku', and they're in reality the same thing. But some people may not realize, they don't pay attention. And in some customs and cultures, they will make al-inhina as a means of showing respect to a person. And they will bow before him, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. Or in some sports and the likes like this, individuals, they will make al-inhina, and they will bow before the people or before their opponent or so on and so forth. Or in some customs and cultures, they will bow before an individual. And even if it's a light bowing movement, like here he says al-inhina. So this is not allowed. This is a type of veneration and magnification that is the right of Allah. And this is what is intended from التحيات. التحيات لله. These means of praise and a display of glorification and magnification, display of veneration, whether it's with statement or an action or person situation, this is all for Allah alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The author, he clarified, we read in our previous class, but he clarified that all of the means of praise, all of the means of veneration and glorification, all the means of magnification, in the manner that the Lord of the world should be magnified and venerated, this is all for Allah alone. And the one who directs any portion of that to other than Allah, then he is a pagan or polytheist, and he is a mushrik, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So therefore, those people who bow before other individuals, they should stop this, and they should be reprimanded from that. This is not allowed. This is from the right of Allah. This is from the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالصَّلَوَاتِ وَالصَّلَوَاتِ. And he mentioned جَمِيعُ الدَّعَوَاتِ. Also has been mentioned as salawat al-khams, that all of the supplications, all of the means of supplicating and likewise invoking and calling, this is for Allah Azza wa Jal. This is the meaning of this. At-tahiyyatu lillahi wa salawat. Salawat also therefore Allah. All of the supplication in every manner and aspect, all of the invocation in every manner and aspect, all of the dua is for Allah. Is for Allah. We have seen as salat luwatan al-dua, that as salat linguistically is supplication, invocation. And this is what is intended here. Some said this, what is intended is the five daily prayers. But no doubt, the five daily prayers, the obligatory and non-obligatory salawat that we know, and likewise all of the invocations, the supplications, they are the right of Allah. They are the right of Allah, and they should be for Him alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The author, he says, وَالطَّيِّبَاتِ اللَّهُ طَيِّبٌ وَلَا يَكْبَرُ مِنَ الْأَقْوَالِ وَالْأَعْمَالِ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا. والطيبات يعني والطيبات لله. This is the meaning. التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات يعني والصلوات والطيبات لله كذلك. All of these is for Allah. The تحيات is for Allah alone. They're His right. They belong to Him. And likewise the صلوات, they are the right of Allah alone. They belong to Him. Likewise الطيبات. الطيبات are all of those good things from the word الطيب. And الطيب, it means something that is good. Something that is good and something that is wholesome. So the author, he says, Allahu Tayyibun, and Allah, He is Tayyib, meaning Allah, He is good. This is from the beautiful names of Allah, At-Tayyib. And this is in reference to the well-known hadith of Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Inna Allaha Tayyibun la yakbaru illa tayyiba. That Allah, He is good, and He does not accept anything except that which is good. And this is what he's mentioning here. وَلَا يَقْبَرُ مِنَ الْأَقْوَالِ وَالْأَعْمَالِ إِلَّا طَيِّبَهَا. And Allah, He does not accept from the statements nor the actions except that which is good. Except that which is good. Any meaning except that which is pure and done for His sake alone. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, in accordance to His legislation and described in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are the statements and the actions that are for Allah, and that Allah, He accepts. And that Allah, He accepts. He only accepts that which is good. That which is good. And that which is good is that which He has prescribed in His legislation. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all of the good statements, all of the noble words and speech, and likewise all of the good actions, all of the noble actions and deeds, they are the right of Allah Azza wa Jalla. All of the righteous deeds, they are for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah, He does not accept anything except for that which is good. Meaning that which is in accordance to His legislation, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the author, he says, As-salamu alayka ayyuhal nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu wa barakatuhu. And then we say, may the salam be upon you, O Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the mercy of Allah and His blessings, and His blessings. The author, he says, rahimahullah, tad'u lil-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bis-salama wa rahmati wa barakah. He says, here you are calling on Allah, you are supplicating to Allah, you are invoking and asking Allah to give the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam safety and peace and mercy and blessing. Wa raf'i ad-darajat, and raising his ranks, and raising his ranks. Tad'u lin-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bis-salamati wa rahmati wa barakati wa raf'i ad-darajat. So he says that here you are calling on Allah. You are making dua for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You are calling on Allah. You are making dua to Allah. Calling on Allah, asking for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to have peace and security, and to have mercy and blessing, and to have his rank raised lofty and high. Then the author, he mentions a wonderful point and a clarification of his understanding of the deen, and likewise his sincere advice as well, as we have seen previously. He says, وَالَّذِي يُدْعَى لَهُ لَا يُدْعَى مَعَ اللَّهِ. And the one who is supplicated for, he should not be called on along with Allah. He should not be called on along with Allah. We have seen the diligence of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in teaching this particular tashahud, and teaching this particular dhikr, this tahiyyat, how he had taken Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu by the hand. And he had mentioned that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught him this in this manner, with his hand between his hands, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, teaching him this tashahud in the same manner that he would teach him a chapter from the Quran. Meaning being very specific and diligent with regards to these wordings. So here we see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught them that in this tashahud, that the believers, they must make dua for the Prophet. As-salamu alayka ayyuhal nabi. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is a supplication. Everyone who says this in his salah, he's calling on Allah to grant the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam safety and security. Safety, security, and peace. And likewise mercy and blessing, and to raise his rank sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us to make dua for him. Is teaching us to make dua for him. Brother, this is an obligation and a pillar from the pillars of the prayer to be recited in this manner. To make dua for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the author, he makes this great point that the one that you make dua for, he should never be called on along with Allah. The one that we call Allah to bless. The one that we call Allah to make him safe and to grant him peace and to grant him mercy and to grant him blessing and to raise his rank, he should not be called along with Allah. Rather, this person is in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and for us to call on Allah for him. So the one that we call on Allah for should never be called on himself as well with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a clear clarification that those who are calling on the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in these days, whether from in front of his grave or in his masjid sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or even from the distant lands, or even from the distant lands, this is all falsehood and contrary. Rather, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was asked by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, in another narration which is muttafaqun alayhi, that he said, I asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, ayyu dhanbi a'zamu 'inda Allah, what is the greatest sin with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He said, antad'u wa lillahi niddan wa huwa khalaqak, that you call on another along with Allah as a rival. And he calling on somebody, making supplication and dua to somebody along with Allah, while Allah, he is the one who created you. While Allah, he is the one who created you. So this is the greatest crime. This is the worst of all sins. This is the lowest of all deeds. And the greatest action of transgression, transgressing against the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this manner, and calling on others besides Allah, along with Allah. And this is a clarification of that those people, they have no understanding of إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, and they have no understanding of التَّحِيَّاتُ لِلَّهِ وَالصَّلَوَاتُ وَالطَّيِّبَاتُ السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكَ أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ. They have no understanding of أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. They have violated the religion from its very foundations and from its greatest fundamentals and most important principles. And for this reason, we find the enemies of al-Islam supporting them greatly, financially and the likes. So do not be deceived by these affairs. This is a great point, it's so clear. أَلَذِي يُدْعَى لَهُ مَا يُدْعَى مَا اللَّهِ. The one that you call on Allah for, he should not be called himself along with Allah. You should not call on him, make dua to him along with Allah, where they were supposed to make dua for him. So if this is the case for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, how about those who are lesser than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, from the righteous in the graves? So the same thing, we make dua for the righteous in the graves, but those people who are misguided, those people who have deviated in the worst manner, instead of calling on Allah for those people in the graves to have safety, to have mercy, to have blessing, to have forgiveness, to have pardon, they called on them along with Allah. They called on them along with Allah. And this is contrary to the very fundamental call of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin. And we say likewise, and may peace and security, safety, and as-salam be upon us and upon the righteous slaves of Allah. He said, Rahimahullah, تُسَلِّمُ عَلَى نَفْسِكَ وَعَلَى كُلِّ عَبْدٍ صَالِحٍ مِنْ أَهْلِ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. In this portion here, you are making dua for yourself to have salama, and likewise for every righteous slave of Allah Azza wa Jal in the heavens and in the earth. In the heavens and in the earth. So here again is another supplication. Now, after supplicating for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to have a salama, to have safety, to have peace, to have security, to be safe, and likewise for his legislation to be safe as well. And for his legislation to be safe as well, and his honor. This is all a supplication for the Prophet, likewise supplicating for him for mercy and for blessing. After that, we supplicate for ourselves in this tashahud. We supplicate for ourselves to have safety and to have security in our deen first and foremost, in our creed, in our religion, in our worship, and likewise in our manners and conduct, as well as in our worldly affair, in our health, in our wealth, in our prosperity, in our children, our family, in our homes. This is a great supplication for us to have a salama, and also for every righteous slave of Allah Azza wa Jal in the heavens and in the earth. In the heavens and in the earth. So then now the author, he says, وَالسَّلَامُ دُعَى. وَالسَّلَامُ دُعَى. And to give salam is dua. This is a supplication. This is a supplication. As-salamu alayna. وَعَلَى عِبَادِ اللَّهِ الصَّالِحِينَ. This is a supplication. Before that, As-salamu alayka ayyuha nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a supplication. Whenever we say to each other, As-salamu alaykum. Wa alaykum as-salam. This is a supplication. It even becomes greater when one he says, Wa rahmatullah. Or even greater, Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All of this is supplication. All of this is supplication for a person. So the author, he says, Was-salamu du'aun. Was-salihuna yuda'a lahum. Wa la yuda'auna ma'allah. So to give salam, to make dua for salam, safety and security and peace, this is a supplication. And the righteous, they are supplicated for. They are not called on themselves and supplicated to along with Allah. Along with Allah. So it's very clear. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is teaching us to make dua for him, to make dua for ourselves, and to make dua for every righteous slave of Allah Azza wa Jalla in the heavens and the earth. So anyone who we are taught to make dua for, it's clear he's in need of Allah. He's in need of Allah. Rather, the Prophet is telling us to make dua for him.
And he clarified that he's in need of Allah, and he's hoping that Allah would accept our supplication on behalf of him, and for him, and to make dua for the righteous likewise. And inshallah, Allah will accept our supplication for them, and they will benefit from that. So the one who is in need of someone to supplicate for, he's not worthy of supplicating to. He's not worthy of calling on and putting one's faith and trust and reliance upon and calling on him and hoping that he will respond. Rather, he is in need of someone to call on Allah for him. So therefore, this is clear falsehood. This is in the prayer that is repeated 5 times a day as an obligation. All of this likewise is clarifying the true meaning of what إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. You alone do we worship, and you alone do we seek aid and help from. So therefore, calling on the righteous is falsehood, and this is clear in the Fatiha, and likewise it's clear in At-Tashahhud. Likewise it's clear in At-Tashahhud, even becomes more clear whenever we make the Shahada. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. This is what the author is moving on towards now. He says, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. And I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and messenger. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The author, he says, تَشْهَدُ شَهَادَةَ الْيَقِينِ أَلَّا يُعْبَدَ فِي السَّمَاءِ وَلَا فِي الْأَرْضِ بِحَقٍ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Here you are testifying a testification of certainty. And a testification that is based upon knowledge, and that one he has certainty with regards to, no doubts, that no one in the heavens nor in the earth is worshipped in truth and in right, deserves to be worshipped besides Allah alone, with no partner, subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَشَهَادَةُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. And the testimony that Muhammad is his slave and messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the author, he says, عَبْدٌ لَا يُعْبَدْ وَرَسُولٌ لَا يُكَذَّبْ بَلْ يُطَاعَ وَيُتَّبَعَ. Allahu Akbar. بَلْ يُطَاعَ وَيُتَّبَعَ شَرَّفَهُ اللَّهُ بِالْعُبُودِيَّةِ وَالرِّسَالَةِ. شَرَّفَهُ اللَّهُ بِالْعُبُودِيَّةِ وَالرِّسَالَةِ. So the author, he says, this means that the messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, al-Qurashi, al-Hashimi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, abdun la yu'bad, wa rasulun la yukadhib, bal yuta'u wa yuttaba'. He's a slave, so therefore he's not worthy of worship. And also he's a messenger, so he must not be belied or denied. Rather, he should be obeyed and followed. And this is the clear path, and this is the moderate path between those two extremes. There are those who have gone to extremes with regards to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and raised him to a rank he does not deserve, and they called on him along with Allah, like those extreme Sufiyyah, and also like the Rafila and the likes, and others lesser than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They called on them along with Allah likewise. But we say in our tashahhud, وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and messenger. So the one who is a slave, مِنْ شَأْنِ الْعَبْدِ أَنْ يُكُونَ عَابِدًا مِنْ شَأْنِ الْعَبْدِ أَنْ يُكُونَ عَابِدًا لَا مَعْبُودًا. The one who is a slave, his reality is that he will worship and he will submit and surrender. Not that he will be worshipped nor submitted or surrendered to. That's contrary. So the Prophet, he's a slave. Slaves are not worshipped, and they are not submitted and surrendered. Rather, the one who is a slave, he is someone who submits and surrenders. And he shows obedience, absolutely. So therefore, this is the case of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's a slave of Allah. He's not worthy of worship. He's a man, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's in need of Allah azza wa jalla like we are. He was created and provided for and sustained, like we are created and provided for and sustained. But the difference between us and him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَرَسُولٌ فَلَا يُكَذِّبْ وَرَسُولٌ لَا يُكَذِّبْ. But he's a messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so he should not be belied. He should not be denied. Rather, what should one do? بَلْ يُطَاعْ وَيُتَّبَعْ. Whether he should be obeyed, because he has the guidance and the revelation from the Lord of the worlds. And he should be followed, because his path leads to the pleasure of Allah. And this is what was revealed to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that path that leads to the pleasure of Allah. He says, شَرَّفَهُ اللَّهُ بِالْعُبُودِيَّ وَالرِّسَالَةِ. And Allah has honored him, any of the Prophet,
sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with ubudiyyah, with sincere servitude, worship and devotion, and birrisala, warrisala, and also with messengership, yani meaning that he received revelation and guidance from Allah Azza wa Jal. So these are the two greatest traits and attributes of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he is a slave of Allah and his messenger. That he is a slave of Allah and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And whenever the people, they try to raise him above his rank or to praise him in a manner that would lead to extremism, he became angry sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, "La tutruni kama atrat an-nasara ibn Maryam." Do not go to extremes in praising me the way the Christians went to extremes in praising the son of Maryam, meaning Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Innama ana abdun faqulu abdullahi wa rasuluh. I am only a slave. So therefore say the slave of Allah and his messenger. Sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Others, they have went to extremes as well, and they have belied him and denied him. Sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And they have turned away from his guidance. And they have turned away from his guidance, and from those who have disbelieved. And even there are some who share in these traits from this ummah likewise, who have turned away from his guidance, and they follow their desires, and they follow their whims, and they turn and their customs in contradiction to the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they share in that. Waliyadu billah. The straight path is to believe that he is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he will receive guidance, and to believe in everything that he has mentioned that has been related to us authentically, to believe that it is the truth, and to obey him absolutely sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that which he orders, and to avoid and stay away from all of that which he has forbidden and prohibited sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to restrict oneself in actions of worship to following and abiding by his sunnah, his laws and legal ways sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the author, he says, what dalilu qawluhu ta'ala, and the evidence for this is the statement of Allah the Most High, tabaraka alladhi nazzala al-furqana ala 'abdihi liyakuna lil'alamin nadhira. Blessed is he, the one who has revealed the criterion to his slave in order to be a warner for all of mankind, for the 'alamin, in order to be a warner for all of mankind, yani for the 'alamin, for the 'alamin. This is a beautiful manner. The author here is using this verse as an evidence for the discussion. He's telling us that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, عَبْدٌ لَا يُعْبَدْ وَرَسُولٌ لَا يُكَذَّبْ بَلْ يُطَاعَ وَيُتَّبَعْ, that he is a slave, he should not be worshipped, and he is a messenger, so he should not be belied or denied, rather he should be obeyed and followed. Obeyed and followed. And the proof for this is the statement of Allah the Most High, blessed is the one who has revealed the criterion to his slave. Who is his slave? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? لِيَكُونَ لِلْعَالَمِينَ نَذِيرًا, to be a warner for all of mankind. And to warn them from the punishment of Allah in his anger. To warn them from the punishment of Allah in his anger. So therefore he's a slave. Allah, he mentioned he's a slave in the most noble position. That he's a slave that Allah chose from his slaves to reveal to him the criterion. And in distinguishing truth from falsehood and good from bad. And that which is upright and lawful and wholesome from that which is lowly, filthy and foul. From that which is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. From creed, belief, statement, action and deed. To that which is displeasing to Allah. From all of that. He's the chosen slave to receive this criterion, this guidance, this light, this knowledge, this revelation sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in order to be a warner for all of mankind. In order to be a warner for all of mankind. So therefore it's clear he's a slave. So he's not worthy of worship. But he received the criterion. He received the guidance. He received the light. He received the revelation. So you should not belie him or deny him, because if you do, you are exposing yourself to the threat of the anger and the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي نَزَّلَ الْفُرْقَانَ عَلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ لِيَكُونَ لِلْعَالَمِينَ نَذِيرًا. So here, until this point now, we see this is the end of the tashahud. I mean, this is the end of the issue with regards to التشهد. التشهد and التشهد الأخير. This is the one that is the pillar. And sitting for it likewise, as well is a pillar. Now the author, he moves on to the 13th pillar and also the 14th pillar, which is As-salatu ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa taslimatan. What taslimatan? So the 13th pillar is to send the salah on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the 14th pillar is at taslimatan, making the two taslim on the right and on the left, closing the salah. So the author, he says, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Innaka hamidun majid. He mentioned the supplication that when he says, Oh Allah, send your salah on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and upon the family of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just as you have sent your salah on the family of Ibrahim, indeed you are all praiseworthy and the one who is mighty and majestic. The one who is almighty and majestic. The author, he says, As-salatu min Allah, thana'uhu ala abdihi fil mada'i al-a'la. Kama haka al-Bukhari fi sahihihi an abil aliyah, rahimahullah, salatu Allahi thana'uhu ala abdihi fil mada'i al-a'la. So he says, As-salat min Allah. We have seen that the linguistic meaning of as-salat is dua, to supplicate. The linguistic meaning of as-salat is dua. Who remembers the proof? وَصَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ إِنَّ صَلَاتَكَ سَكَنٌ لَهُمْ وَصَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ. The Prophet was ordered to make salat for his companions. And he was informed that his salat for his companions, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is a means of tranquility and peace for them. And what is intended here? And أُدْعُوا لَهُمْ وَدْعُوا لَهُمْ. Supplicate for them. Because when you do that, this is a means of tranquility and peace for them to enter in their hearts and to find comfort. So the as-salat, it means that dua linguistically. The author is telling us now, as-salatu min Allah, the salat from Allah. Like here we're asking Allah to give salat to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. We're asking Allah to give salat to the Prophet. So now we're making dua again to Allah for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Before we're making dua to Allah for the Prophet to have as-salama. Now here we're making dua to Allah for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to have as-salah, to have as-salah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. So the author is saying as-salah min Allah, the salah, if it comes from Allah, this is that he will praise his slave and the highest company and the company of the highest. Just as al-Bukhari had mentioned in his authentic collection from the narration of Abu al-Aliyah rahimahullah from the Tabi'in, he says, Salatullahi thana'uhu ala abdihi fil mali al-a'la. This is the interpretation of Abu al-Ali of as-salat from Allah. Whenever Allah he gives salat, what does this mean? We're asking Allah to give salat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning we're asking Allah to praise the Prophet and to mention him and the highest company of angels, those who are close and near to him. Those are close and near to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Allahumma salli ala Ali ibn Abi Awfa. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked Allah to give the salat on the family of Abdullah ibn Abi Awfa radiyallahu anhu, meaning that he's asking Allah azza wa jalla to praise him and to mention him and the company of those nearest angels to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now the author, he says, wa min al-mala'ika al-istighfar, and as-salah from the mala'ika, from the angels, is al-istighfar. And meaning if the angels, they make salah for a person, then this means that they're asking Allah to forgive that person. So when the angels make salah for a person, then this means that the angels are asking Allah to forgive them. That the angels are asking Allah to forgive them. وَمِنَ الْأَدَمِيِّينَ الدُّعَاءَ. And whenever a person, he makes salat for another person, this is a dua, a supplication. This is a dua, a supplication. The author, he says, وَبَارِكْ وَمَا بَعْدَهَا مِنَ الدُّعَاءَ سُنَنُ أَقْوَال. سُنَنُ أَقْوَال. And the rest of the salat. And the rest of this is called As-Salawat al-Ibrahimiyyah. This portion here, As-Salat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is also known as As-Salawat al-Ibrahimiyyah. As-Salawat al-Ibrahimiyyah. So this portion here, he's saying whenever, after we say this, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's saying whenever you come to the part, wa barik ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa ala ali Muhammad, kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. This portion here, he's saying, is from the sunan of the aqwal. It's from the sunan of the statements. The statements that are from the sunan, and they're not obligatory. It's not obligatory. This is the position of some of the people of knowledge. Any of those who mention that this is an obligation here, that this is a pillar here, some of them mention that the pillar is the salah on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As for after that, asking the barakah for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is not from the pillar. This is not from the pillar. So therefore, likewise, sitting for that portion also is not from the pillar. Rather, this is something that is recommended. So according to this position, the author is mentioning, the pillar is that which he mentioned. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. Innaka hamidu majid. This portion here is a pillar. And sitting for that portion also is a pillar. As for وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد, then this portion, the author, he's saying this is sunnah. This portion here is sunnah. And sitting for that portion likewise is sunnah. But Allah knows best. Allah knows best. All of it is part of the pillar. All of it is part of the pillar. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he ordered them to say it in this manner. And this has been collected by Bukhari Muslim from the hadith of Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla. From the hadith of Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla, he's from the Tabi'in, rahimahullah. He says, لَقِيَنِي كَعْبُ بِنُ عُجْرَةٍ أَلَا أُهْدِي لَكَ هَدِيَةً سَمِعْتُهَا مِنَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ. He said that Ka'b ibn Ujrah, radiyallahu anhu, he met me one day. And he said, should I not give you a gift that I heard from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He says, فَقُلْتُ بَلَى. I said, of course. فَأَهْدِهَا لِي. So give me this gift. فقال سألنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقلنا يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كيف الصلاة عليكم أهل البيت فإن الله قد علمنا كيف نسلم. So he says that one day we asked the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, so we said to him, O Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, how do we make the salah for you and your household, because indeed Allah has taught us how to make the salam. So he said, قال صلى الله عليه وسلم قولوا اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. And this is the narration. So it says that you should all say قولوا. So here this is an order. So from here the people of Nahr, as they mentioned, because this is a command verb, this is an order, this is an indication that it's an obligation, whether it's a pillar. Rather, it is a pillar. So this is the form here that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered them to say. So he ordered them to say the salat, to send the salat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his household, and also he ordered them as well, along with that, in the same dhikr, to send them to ask for the blessing as well. So all of it is a pillar, and Allah knows best. The whole portion is a pillar, and Allah knows best. And likewise, sitting for the whole thing, also. Is a pillar. Any person, he must be sitting for all of this likewise. So this is similar to the tashahud from the aspect that has been narrated from more than one companion in more than one form. And the most complete form is this form here, with sending the salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his household, and also on Ibrahim and his household, and asking for blessing for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his household, and likewise for Ibrahim and his household. They're all mentioned together. They're all mentioned together. So this is the most complete form of sending the salah. And Allah knows best. So after this, the author, he did not mention, but it's clear now that the 14th pillar, and he didn't mention the interpretation, he mentioned before in the beginning in general, that the 14th pillar, it is at Tasneem 10, to make the two Tasneem on the right and on the left. And that is to say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. To make one on the right and one on the left. This is the 14th pillar, and in this manner, the salat has been completed. And a person, he exits the prayer. And we have seen the hadith of Ali radiallahu anhu, collected by Abu Dawood. Whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he mentioned miftahu salat al-tuhur, that the key to the prayer is tuhur, making tahara. Wa tahrimuha at-takbir wa tahriruha at-taslim. And making the takbir, takbirat al-ihram, is the means to enter into the sacred rites of the salat, and to finish and close and to leave those sacred rites is by making the taslim. So this is from the evidence that this is a pillar and an obligation, and it must be made. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned in his book I'lam al-Waqi'in that it has been narrated from 15 companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, narrations that are authentic, considered sahih or hasan, that he would leave the prayer with two taslim. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would leave the prayer with two taslim, not with one, rather with two. So there's a difference of opinion about whether both of them or one of them is the pillar or not. In any case, a person, he should make both of them, one on the right and one on the left. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. He'll turn his head to the right until the side of his cheek, the right side, could be seen from behind him, and the same thing on the left. There are some innovations people do, or some customs that they follow, that have no foundation or evidence in the book, nor in the sunnah, nor from the way of the sahaba and the tabi'een. And that is that they would dip their head and roll it. Some people, they'll dip their head down and then roll their head to the right, and dip their head down and roll their head to the left. All of this is not found. This description here is not found. Any dipping the head and rolling the head and the likes like this, making these big movements, and some of them will go to extremes and rolling their head this way and rolling their head that way. This is not found. This is not found in the narrations, in the description of this taslim. Rather, he just turns his head to the right. He just turns his head to the right until his cheek is facing any other side. And then the same thing on the left. And this is giving salam to all of those on the right, from the believers, from the people, and likewise from the angels. And as well on the left, giving salam to all the believers on that side, from mankind and from the angels. From mankind and from the angels. Also, some other mistakes or innovations that people will do at this time is they'll move their fingers like they're playing patty cake, or they'll raise their hands up and down like they'll bounce their hands and the likes like this. Some of them, they'll bounce their hands like this. The people of knowledge, they have found great blame for this, especially since this is from the way of the Rafidah. They're the ones who do this specifically, and also people who follow them. And they'll bounce their hands intentionally, believing that this is something that will draw them near to Allah. This is falsehood. Other people, they may not do it so much, but they move their hands, they move their fingers. And when it's time, and the likes like this. And this is incorrect. Rather, the hands, they stay on the thighs, or they stay on the knees. They stay flat. Somebody has said they pat their lap, and other times they move it up and down, and the likes like this. And the people of knowledge, they describe it like the tail of a donkey, wagging the tail like the tail of a donkey. And this is what you do not do. This is from the things you do not do in the salah. You do not lay your hands on your forearms on the ground like a dog, nor do you pick the ground like a rooster, and also you don't patty cake your hands, wave your hands up and down like the tail of a donkey. So there's a number of things that you do not do in the prayer, and this is from them. This is from them. These are the pillars of the salah. These are the pillars of the salah. And just to review briefly now, to remember that a pillar in a salat, huwa ma yuthabu fa'iluhu wa ya'thamu tarikuhu amda. That a pillar in the prayer, a rukn in the prayer, is something that the one who performs it properly, he has a reward for that. And the one who leaves it intentionally, then he has a sin for that. Wa tabturu bihi salatuhu. And along with the fact that he's sinning, if he were to leave a pillar on purpose, while he knows and remembers, and left it intentionally, then he will be sinning in this manner, and likewise his salat will be invalidated. وَتَبْتُلُ صَلَاتُ مَنْ تَرَكَهُ عَمْدًا أَوْ سَهْوًا. And likewise, the one who left it on purpose or on accident, his prayer will be invalidated. So the one who left it on purpose is clear. He's sinning and his prayer is invalidated at that moment. As for the one who left a pillar on accident out of forgetfulness, then if he does not catch it before he starts reading the Fatiha in the next rak'ah, then that previous rak'ah that he forgot the pillar in is invalidated. That rak'ah is invalidated. If he forgot a pillar in a rak'ah and he remembered that he forgot before he started reciting the Fatiha in the next rak'ah, he will go back to that pillar. Everything he did up until that point is all invalidated. He'll go back to the pillar that he forgot and he'll bring it, and in this manner he corrects that rak'ah. He corrects that rak'ah, and then he will make sujood sahu in the end. We discussed these details in Umdat al-Ahkam, for those who want to review the details of sujood sahu and the likes, but just so that we see now. So this is the case. هو الركن في الصلاة هو ما يثاب فاعله ويأثم تاركه عمدا وتبطل الصلاة من تركه عمدا أو سهوا. And وأما الجاهل فيصحه فيصحح صلاة الوقت وما فات Afun insha'Allah. Wa ma fatahu afun insha'Allah. So the person, as for the one who is ignorant, as for the one who left one of these pillars out of ignorance, then the prayer of that time, if it's an obligatory prayer, the prayer of that time, at that time will be corrected. And as for the previous prayers, then they will be pardoned and forgiven, and Allah knows best. And this is also what this narration of Al-Musi' Salatahu indicates, that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he only ordered him to repeat the prayer of that time. As for all of the previous prayers, he did not order him to make them up or repeat them. So this is an indication that the one who failed to bring some of these pillars because of ignorance, that he will be excused for those previous prayers before. But as for the prayer of that particular time, this one must be corrected and repeated. This one must be corrected and repeated, and Allah knows best. Here, with regards to the 13th pillar, which is As-Salatu ala Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there's a latifa, a subtle benefit to people of knowledge they mention here. So we see the author, rahimahullah, he follows the position that this is a pillar from the pillars of the prayer. He follows the position that this is a pillar from the pillars of the prayer. To make a salat on the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this is a pillar, and the prayer is not correct without it. The person who prayed and did not make the salah on the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in the opinion of the author, his prayer is invalidated and not accepted. He will be ordered to repeat it and to bring the salah on the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And if the majority of the people of knowledge with regards to this particular pillar, they find it to be sunnah. It's not a pillar. It's not a rukn and it's not a wajib. It's not a rukn and it's not a wajib. So the benefit here is that there are individuals who hate the author and they dislike the author because of his call. Because of his call to at-tawheed and to follow the evidence in the book and the sunnah and the understanding of as-salaf as-salih, and in this pure way and this clear path, they have taken great enmity against him. And they have made many lies in order to defame him and to turn the people away from him. And from that is that they claim that he declares it to be impermissible to make the salah on the Prophet, and that he does not like to make salah on the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Why is that? Why did they claim that against him? Who knows? Why did they say Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab al-Tamimi rahimahullah, he does not love the Prophet. They say that. And he does not love the household of the Prophet. And they say that he has enmity for the household of the family of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And they say that he forbids the people from making salah on the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he stops them from that.
That's a lie.
This is the point. No doubt that's a lie. We've already clarified more than one time how it's a lie that he hates the household of the family. Who remembers that?
Most of
his children. His children. What are the names of his children? Ali, Hussein, Hassan, Ibrahim, Abdullah, Fatima. He has one that's called Abdulaziz. All of his children, he named his children after the household of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Except for one, his name is Abdulaziz. So how could a person despise and hate somebody yet name his own children the names of all of them? This is a clear sign that they're lying. This is a clear sign that they're lying. This is a clear sign that they're lying. Here the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, he's mentioning that it's an obligation to send a salah on the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the prayer is not accepted if you do not do that. And they themselves, they believe that it's only sunnah and it's not obligatory. If you send the salah on the Prophet, it's good. And if you don't, then your prayer is correct. And the opinion of the majority of the scholars.
Yeah, Allah has said,
this is not the point. This is not the point. This is not the point. The point is that how could you claim that he does not find it lawful, or that he prohibits the people from making the salah on the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, yet he made it obligatory, rather from the pillars of the prayer. So why do they claim this? Why do they claim he doesn't love the household of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? No, to make him look bad. But where are they going with this?
To get more support of the people.
No, what is it?
He prohibited,
You're right too, but he's on the head. But because he forbid them from calling on the Prophet. He forbid them from calling on Ali. He forbid them from calling on Hussein. He forbid them. He tells them the shirk. You cannot make dua to Hussein. Ittaqillah. You cannot call on Hussein. You cannot make istighatha with Hussein. Hussein, abdun. La yu'bad. He's a slave. Even lesser than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How can you call on him? Here we are in the tashahud making dua for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then you're making dua to the Prophet. Fools. Fools. What's wrong with you? This is the violation of the foundation of the deen. So now they said, oh, you don't like the family of the Prophet. This is what they do. This is what they do. Whenever you refute their falsehood and you clarify this, then they accuse you falsely. So also they say he doesn't like to send the salah on the Prophet. He prohibits that. Why? Because they make the salawat al-mubtada'ah. They have deviant, innovative means of making the salah on the Prophet. We have read some of them here in this same masjid. I have read them to you. That they have. They send us a salah, this type of salah, that type of salah, this many times, that many times. And then they say, Nahnu ibadu Muhammad. And they say, we are the slaves of Muhammad. And then they say, Muhammad al-awwal, al-akhir, Muhammad, Muhammad al-lahir, al-bathin, Muhammad. Like this. As-salatu ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Nahnu ibadu Muhammad. Like, there's all these different types. Wallahi, we read them. We read them, and we read them, and that they pass around. They have some that are very foul and very lowly. Salawat, any forms of making the salat on the Prophet that are innovated. And many of them, they have shirk in them. So the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, in his pure call, he will call them to leave that. This is shirk. You cannot call this type of salawat. Number one, it's an innovation. Number two, it consists of shirk and paganism and polytheism. So whenever he forbade them from this and he prohibited them from that, then they accuse him falsely of not liking to send the salah or prohibiting the people from sending the salah. He does not prohibit that. He prohibits innovation from sending the salah on the Prophet in an innovative manner. He prohibited them from calling on the family of the Prophet besides Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is what he prohibited from. So therefore they lie in this manner. They make up names like Wahhabiyya, and they do the same thing today and continue in the same way. If you tell them to not call on the graves, do not call on the grave of Abdul Qadir Jailani. He's a slave. You don't like that. La tuhibbun al-awliya. La tahtarimun al-awliya. Tatanakasun al-awliya. You guys you don't love the righteous. You guys disrespect the righteous. You guys don't know how to honor the righteous. It's not about honoring the righteous. We love the righteous. We honor them. And we follow them. But we don't call on them besides Allah Azza wa Jalla. So this is the way of the people of falsehood. Alhamdulillah. For the clarification of the people of knowledge. Hada wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.